I'm in Daniel chapter 7, please. Daniel chapter 7. And we've been studying this, and some good report on some of you folks giving me your testimony. And I'm glad you remember some of it, especially when other folks come knocking on your door. You know, they show up and want to try to put you in the kingdom. And some of you remember that all them kingdoms are going to be destroyed and there's only going to be one kingdom left. That's good. Daniel chapter 7. And we've been waiting around there. And I want to say this. I want to announce this. Pastor knows about it. And if I'm not on tonight, Pastor, just jerk my chain. I'll back up. But we've been wanting to have a soul winners class for how to lead someone to the Lord. And we'll have that tonight after the preaching. Brother Payne, Brother Will preach. And then we'll have a class probably in the back room. Does that sound good, Jer? And it's before those folks that showed an interest. We had talked about that a couple weeks ago. And so we'll get that started. And these are going to be classes to ground us in exactly what the Scripture says about winning someone else to the Lord and how to do that. So it's not going to be an hour class. It'll be kind of an abbreviated class to help people that already know but want to, let's just say, see what the Scriptures have to say to clarify it and do that. So we'll do that tonight after the preaching hour and meet for a few moments. And it seems to be a good time to meet because folks are in for church anyway. And it makes it good. So I know they tell me, quit talking, start teaching. You're on this, that, or something. Pray for my family. They're out today. Strep throat has approached our home and tried to take up residence. So antibiotics and the local doctor, Mrs. Parks, has helped us. So we appreciate that. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel has had a vision. And as a vision of his head, we talked about that last week. We talked about the vision was the same vision that Nebuchadnezzar had 52 years prior. And when Daniel first was into the kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the Babylonian king at that time, never before had a Gentile power ruled the known world of the day. Until Nebuchadnezzar, the last world rulers was the nation of Israel under King David and, well, Saul, King David, and then his sons, Solomon, and then the kingdom split. And the more they sinned, the more it split. And exactly happened what God said would happen. If you don't maintain my statutes, if you don't offer my sacrifice, if you don't live by the law that I gave you, then you will go into sin and someone else will rule over you. And that we looked at that and we talked all about that and how that historically did happen. And now we're in the end of time of Gentile rule. And by the way, ever since that time, 556 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar, somewhere in there, it'll 538, maybe earlier, Gentile powers have ruled, and they're still ruling the known world of today. And the world power today is, I want to say, United States of America is probably the leading world power. We have the technology, we have the abilities, we have the people, we have the infrastructure, we have the raw material, and we're at the, if you please, the top of the pile. That's a scary place to be. Next in line might be Russia, who's always flexing their ungodly muscle. So, but that's a Gentile power. The only Jewish power would be the nation of Israel. And now, in Benjamin Netanyahu, is not he the prime minister of Israel today again? And he was there, and then someone else was in. Now he's back. And he's a world power, but only with the ally of the Americas, or America, and some of Britain. And America seems to be an extension of Britain. What I'm trying to say is they're not at the top of the pile. America, Britain, Russia, they're at the top of the Gentile power. And let me say this. We, I don't want to use the word enjoy, but we have a Roman type government set up, with the exception of the dictatorship in Russia. But as a world power, we have that Roman type Senate, cabinets, president, leader. It's not a monarchy. It's not a dictatorship. It's a republic or a democracy. And that's the same as it should be in power in the last days, according to the book of Daniel. And I just have I know you can't see it, but they had the dream, gold, the head, silver, from the neck down, brass of the center part, then iron from here down in the toes, iron mixed with clay. Those were the pictures of the world powers to be prophetically in the day of Nebuchadnezzar when he had the first dream. And we've been through that. We studied that. So Nebuchadnezzar has passed off the scene by Daniel chapter 7. The silver image, which is the Medo-Persian Empire, is where we're at now. And by the end of this thing, and we've gone through a number of kings, and every one of them not wanting to acknowledge the power of the Lord God that Israel served. But it'll be under the Medo-Persian Empire that the children of Israel are finally liberated and allowed to go back to their land. And you read about some of this in the book of Nehemiah, in the book of Ezra, because those are post, if you please, captivity happenings for the nation of Israel. And ever since that time, the Jew has gotten to go back into Israel and try to reform the land. And ever since that time, they have had nothing but trouble from the surrounding people that they were supposed to subdue when Moses went into the land to take the land. And what happened is they did not annihilate the enemy. They did not totally wipe out who God told them to wipe out. And there's story after story through the Old Testament about the wars of the nation of Israel as they took the land and how that they disobeyed God. And God kept smiling on them, smiling on them, smiling on them, till finally they just sent away their day of grace, if you please, and went into total captivity. And that's kind of how the book of Daniel has been unfolded. And by chapter 7, Daniel now has a dream of his own. And he'll have another vision here in the next chapter or so. But this is the first vision Daniel has. And it's a repeat of the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, but with more detail. Daniel chapter 7. You say, well, are these other kingdoms ever going to arise again? No. The Babylonian Empire may try, but it's never going to succeed. The Medo-Persian Empire is going to try, but it's never going to succeed. The next one is the Alexandrian or the Greek Empire, which we're not quite to yet. But it'll, and Daniel's not alive at this time. He's lived his life and died. But the prophecy still comes to pass, and Alexander the Great rolls in and conquers the known world of the day. And we read about that in our history books. We read about Greek mythology and about the power of the Gentile power of the Grecian government, so on and so forth. But he doesn't hold up, and we'll see this a little bit later. When we see him go under, he'll succumb. And he'll succumb to a Roman, and that's what the Bible calls it, empire. And Rome took over the known world from Greece of that day. And that Roman-type government is known from the legs down to the toes. And the legs down to the toes are said to be iron. And then the toes are clay mixed with iron. And we've taught all about that and ins and outs, but I'm just kind of describing the basics of you to you again this morning to get right back into where Daniel is seeing this vision himself. He has not lived to see the brass or the iron and clay, but he has lived to see the gold empire and the silver empire. And because he has done that and it has come to pass, after he passes off the scene, you've got the brass, the iron, and we live, if you please, in the Iron Age. We're under the Roman tight government, Romanish rule, a democracy. Remember when Brutus killed Caesar? And if I get these names backwards, you'll understand I didn't do real good in English lit. But I love to go back and look at it now. And same kind of senator, same kind of government situation. It was dog eat dog. Say why? It was without God. That's why. And the further our government gets away from God, and it's getting away, it's gotten away, the more corrupt it becomes. So we live in that last time. So let's pick it up, Daniel chapter 7. And I want you to look, if you would, at verse 13. The scene in heaven before the coming of the Son of Man. Because we're studying about the very same type of vision, if not the same vision, that Nebuchadnezzar had 52 years prior. Daniel interpreted it, told him what was going to happen. Now he's having it, and he's making this kind of statements. And my cogitations troubled me. Let's look at it. He says here, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Now you've got the Heavenly Father, and you've got the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never happened before in the book of Daniel. And they brought him near before him. They brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, now that's anybody that's a nation, get that plural down, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. You say, what's he talking about? He's talking about the final kingdom that comes to where the toes are right at the end. Daniel's talking about it. He saw it also. He said, that's the kingdom that's going to survive. And that's the, we know it as the kingdom of heaven in the book of Matthew. We know it as the kingdom of God in the other gospel, which is the gospel of Luke. Now let me explain something to you about the word kingdom, i.e. kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is mentioned in the book of Matthew at least 23 times. Always referring to a literal, visible kingdom, which is referring to the millennial reign of Christ, which is that stone or that fifth kingdom that finally comes and breaks the toes and the feet of that image to pieces. Say, when's that happen? Second advent of Christ at the end of the tribulation, when all these things that Daniel is talking about come to pass. Now, you go read the same account in the book of Luke. The book of Luke does not use kingdom of heaven. He uses kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. But he's talking about exactly the same kingdom that Matthew said, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. The Bible is put together in such a way that the skeptic will stumble every time he tries to read the Word of God. But the true Bible believer says, aha, I know the Bible doesn't contradict. Let's see what's going on here. It looks like the Holy Spirit of God in the kingdom teaches passages in Matthew use kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, and spells it out so clear for you that you can't miss. It's a literal visible form. But then Luke doesn't take the time. He just says kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, which it by definition from Matthew is exactly the same kingdom that he called kingdom of heaven. So we learn something about the Word of God. Kingdom of God can mean kingdom of heaven in the right context, because that's how it was used. You say, why would God do that? Probably to throw the skeptic a wrench in the machine. Yeah. I mean, the Lord, the Bible's like that. But then you get over here under the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, and he says, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. But he's not referring to the millennial reign of Christ at all. He's referring to another kingdom, which is only made up of born again believers, because he said the kingdom of God is not literal. And he always is careful to tell you that, but it's spiritual, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you. So we know kingdom of heaven can mean the same as kingdom of God in the proper context, because context defines the term. You got that? That's a rule in the English language. Thank the Lord that we have his word in the English. But kingdom of God can be defined differently in a different context. Hence, the Apostle Paul calls the new birth, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, never the kingdom of heaven. So you got to make sure you understand that, or you'll think kingdom of heaven means the same thing as the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God means the same thing as the kingdom of heaven, and you'll be confused because you'll think you're in the kingdom over here, and you've got to look at the context. No, this is talking about the Jewish reign, the millennial reign. That's called rightly dividing the Word of God. Do you know what most people struggle with today when it comes to listening to the Word of God, or teaching the Word of God, or understanding the Word of God? Where does this fit, and how does this fit, and isn't that to me over there? And if I just flip the Bible open here, let's do this. Let's flip that Bible open. I can't put my finger down. I'm going to do that today. You know, huh? And he went out and hung himself. Look out! It's in the Bible. It's there. But you can't do that. You say, why? It don't fit you. Say, well, who's that for? That was for Judas. So be careful with how you want to interpret the scriptures. Don't open that thing up and go, yeah, I'm going to do that today. Man, you might be swimming across the Pacific or something. I don't know. But, you know, yeah, yeah, I'm telling you. So we want to systematically teach the Word of God in the way that it makes sense, like God intended to do. So Paul tells the young believers and young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of God. And if we don't rightly divide it, we'll never get it. Because it's like a puzzle, and Daniel fits prophecy. It mentions the kingdom, but not the kingdom of God as we enjoy, because we talk about Daniel's 69th week. We talk about Daniel's 70th week. We understand how things went in a week, 7 days in a week, so on and so forth. We understand the dispensational breakdown. And so we're, if you please, a comma, and the church age is slid in there in a parenthetical, and it's 2,000 years long and doesn't have hardly anything to do with the millennial reign of Christ or anything else. It is a time that God said Israel would be in blindness by part, Romans 14, 25, 26, right in there. And that's where they're at today, because they're not the world power. They're a power, but they're not the world power. They will be someday, but not yet. It's Gentile power. And those that believe and have trusted Christ are a nation within a nation, and we're going to be caught out of here one of these days. And then, I believe, according to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, when John, a picture of the church who wrote the book of Revelations, is caught out into the third heaven, that's a picture of the catching out of the saints of God. Say, who's left? Well, the world's left, and all the unbelievers, and all the pagan religions. Religion will go on. World will go on, and then the Antichrist will try to have his own religion. He'll claim to be God, so on and so forth. So come on back here. So that kingdom that is finally set up is the Lord's kingdom. Verse 13, verse 15. Well, verse 14 I read too, but verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And he did not have the completed Word of God. But he had learned about the captivity of Israel in captivity to the Babylons by studying the writings of Jeremiah. And he understood because of the writings of Jeremiah that their captivity would be 70 years long. Daniel would be an old man before he would see any liberty for those Jews that were in captivity. So he was troubled. And the scripture says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the thing. Now today, we don't have to rely on a dream or a vision because we have the completed word of God. But you'd be surprised how many folks get hung up on that. Oh, Daniel had a vision? I'm going to have my own vision here. Now, wait a minute. Here's what you're doing. When you make a statement like that, he went out and hung himself. Be careful. You say, why don't I have a vision anymore? Take your Bible and come to 1 Peter or 2 Peter. And if you find it before me, say something. Don't leave me hanging. This is the class. I'm looking for the verse that says, we have now a more sure word of prophecy. I probably can quote it if I meditate real hard. And you get over there to Peter. I know Peter said it because Peter was one of the guys on the Mount of Transfiguration in the book of Mark. And, let's try 2 Peter. One of you scholars help me out here. Anybody find it? Peter says, Simon Peter, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace multiplied on you. Got it? 1:19. Thank you. And that's 1 Peter 1:19? 2 Peter. That's why I was in 2 Peter. I just wasn't far enough yet. Thank you. Thank you. And guess what? It's marked all over my page. Pastor Tom Holt, 576. Oh, I got his message there too, if I get in trouble. Okay, 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Say, what's that? Now, we're studying prophecy. We have something surer than the prophecy. Say, what is that? That, watch it, be careful. He says, more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, be careful, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. He talked about the end time for the believer, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You say, what is he saying there? He says, having a more sure word of prophecy is something like having the Word of God on the issue. And that's what Peter said. And he was an authority on visions. Remember, Peter had that vision, and we give you the difference between a vision and a dream. And a vision's more like a trance, can happen in the daylight or the nighttime. And Peter was in that trance on the roof having hungered, and the sheet was let down because he was an Orthodox Jew and he wasn't allowed to just eat anything. But God put all kinds of things down into that sheet. Remember that? And he said to Peter in that trance, arise, kill, and eat. Some of my favorite passages right there. Rise, kill, and eat. Yeah, I like that. And Peter said, not so, Lord, not so. Never have I put anything unclean or so on and so forth in my mouth. And the Lord rebuked him and said, don't call anything that I've created unclean or unworthy. You say, what was that a reference to? That was a reference to the fact that not only were Jews, and Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, which is the Jew, but Gentiles were going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the church age also. And he thought it was only to the Jews because the scripture said salvation is of the Jews. God was showing him it's not only going to be of the Jews. Why? Because the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They had him crucified. He saves the apostle Paul after the resurrection on the Damascus Road. Paul gets saved. He sends him to the Gentiles and Peter to the Jews. But he tells Peter in a trance, they're going to get in. They're going to get saved. So today, you are saved by the grace of God because of a Jewish salvation and a Jewish God that cares for you. And if you please, you're grafted in. Amen. I'm grafted in today. Now, that doesn't mean I get all the, I know I'm the bride. more of this stuff, rightly dividing so that you can understand. Please do not. Went out and hung himself. You know, don't do that. It's got to make... I've always said this. Sixth grade English and common sense and a little old-fashioned horse sense will go a long way in the King James Bible. And people always want to make, God showed me something extra in a vision. No, come on, we have a more sure word of prophecy. I'm real skeptical about these people having dreams and visions. I'm not saying you didn't see anything. I'm not saying, but I'm questioning whether it was scriptural or biblical. You could have seen a whole host of things if you ate lasagna the night before. If you just took, you know, a double dose of your Vicodin or something else you have. If you smoke one of those backwards, you know, roll your own up like that. You wouldn't care if you was rolling it in toilet paper. And you smoke one of those, it's untelling what you would see. But don't try to make somebody that believes that book, like your pastors or any other good God-fearing Christian, that you received some kind of an extra biblical revelation. Didn't happen. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. So, doctrinally, Daniel's in a point where he's troubled with this. And as I move through, he begins to get the interpretation for the man standing there, verse 17. I'll watch the time carefully. I came near and they were standing by him. These were, and he talks about those beasts that he's seen. We described them last week and the week before. The great beasts, and they were the same beasts that Nebuchadnezzar saw. These great beasts, and they represent world empires. These great beasts, which are four kings, there you go, which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, given forever and even forever and ever. He's talking about the Jewish nation. They're going to end up with the millennial kingdom of God. You say, well, I thought that was those Jehovah's Witnesses were going to get that. No, that's more of this. Don't do that. It's got to make sense. I think they changed that doctrine because there's so many of them now. They're arguing about who the 144,000 will be. But and I'm just showing you the fallacy of false doctrine, all right? And not only them, but there's hundreds of cults and sects out there that they'd pull the wool over your eyes in a heartbeat. They'd deceive the very elect if they could. But I've got a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. Daniel says here, they're kings. The saints are going to rule that last kingdom, which would be his people. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. I'm kind of worried about that fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and the ten horns that were in his head. He's describing, the angel's describing to Daniel what he saw, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, three kings, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. So there's going to be trouble among the kings. I beheld in the Gentile powers. I beheld in the last days. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. That's the Jews, and prevailed against them. And he will in the tribulation period. Watch it until the ancient of days came. That's God the Father, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. You say, when is that? Down here with these toes. Those ten horns are representative by the ten toes that we talked about earlier. Don't get confused. People say, well, who are those ten kings and what are those ten kings? Remember, those ten kings come to power in 1 hour, having spent 1 hour with the Antichrist. Say, well, Brother Phil, I thought that was Germany. I thought that was Bulgaria. I know that's what secular teaching tells you, but I'm leaning more toward the Word of God. Take your Bible and go to Psalms chapter 83. Psalms chapter 83. In Psalms chapter 83, and by the way, the book of Psalms is full of prophetical pronouncements for the nation of Israel and the world or the church. You'll find in Psalms 83 10 nations that have no power today but are still there. They're still modern day powers today. And these 10 nations are outlined here in Psalms 83, and my time is gone, but as an assignment, you take Psalms 83, we've done it before, and read that, and you'll find 10 kings there that are going to receive power after having spent 1 hour with the beast, and they're going to be, I think, part of those 10 toasts, or that federation, contrary to what some scholars have said through the years. Say, well, who are they? They're the same nations that's hated Israel ever since Abraham had that child, Ishmael. And it's Moab, it's Amnon, it's Amalek, and right on through. You say, they'll be the ones? They're the ones that all, and they're pro-Antichrist. They're pro-Muslim. Which they're pro-Allah, which that means they're against God and they claim to be God. And whoever these nations are going to have to line up that way with the last beast, which he's describing with the iron teeth, so on and so forth. Well, man, what happens to them? Well, I've been telling you that last kingdom, that stone comes and crushes that thing and mashes it into pieces. And I'm out of time and you'll have to come back next week for the rest of this. Amen. You say, well, this sounds like a repeat. It is a repeat. And God repeats it and he spends the emphasis. Now, I got to give you, I know I'm over. I'm supposed to be abbreviated. The emphasis is not placed on the Antichrist. I want you to get that. But today, everybody thinks, oh, who's the Antichrist? It's got to be Obama. It's got to be Hillary. It's got to be this. And we go on and on and on. And we try to figure out who the Antichrist is. He's got to be alive today. And the Bible never clearly tells you exactly who the Antichrist is. And you know that. But that's because it really don't matter too much. Huh? What matters is who's going to be the last king. No problem with that one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ of glory. And he'll be sitting on the throne. Can we lift him up today? Amen. That's what the Word of God says. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the fact that we know it's you that sits on the throne. It's you that we glorify. It's you that we sing to. It's you that we preach for. Bless now. Save sinners. Encourage the saints. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Good morning. Thank you for tolerating me a little long this morning. Thank you.